Hello, this is Pastor Galen from the First Nazarene Church in Chicago, and welcome to our podcast. Hey, before we hear the message today, I simply wanted to say that no matter where you're at, we're glad that you're listening today. We hope this message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. And if you live in the Chicagoland area, maybe this is the first step for you joining us in person sometime. Or if you want to, you can always check out our online live services every Sunday on our website at firstnaz.cc. Thanks again for joining us. Enjoy the message.
Well, good morning and welcome to Easter at First Nazarene. We're so excited that you are here today packing this place out. If you don't have a seat, let us know. We'll help you find one. Glad that you're here. You all are a beautiful bunch. You dressed up for Easter. I don't think I've ever seen so many men in pink in my life. And you look beautiful. Glad that you're here today. Hey, if you're new to our church, my name is Galen. I'm one of our pastors and excited to share with you the most important message to the church, Easter. If Easter is real, we have a hope and we have a faith in the world. If it's not, what are we doing? I'm excited to share this message with you. I want to ask you just as we begin, what Easter traditions are in your home? Maybe think about the ones you grew up with, the ones maybe your parents passed on to you, what you remember doing. Maybe some that you've passed on to your family even now. Kids, especially if you're in the room, but I guess adults as well. If you had an Easter basket with chocolate in it this morning already, just raise your hand. Is that a tradition that's still alive and well? Yeah, a couple parents. I don't know, whatever. That's awesome. I remember growing up, we would do the baskets with chocolate. And in today's world, I've noticed something new. You know, there's bunnies and there's crosses, but some of them are hollow. Have you seen that? And I was like, hollow? I don't remember. So I texted my mom and I was like, hey, growing up, you know, we got the chocolate. Did we have hollow bunnies? Were those solid? And my mom says, no, we loved you. They were solid. The hollow ones are lame. I was like, we're so opinionated, Mom. Holy cow. And I was like, oh, yeah, because, I mean, that's what every five-year-old needs, right? 2 pounds of chocolate to sit in one sitting and eat the whole thing. It was awesome. And I realized when I said that in our first service last night, I was like, I don't want anybody to feel left out, like if your family has the hollow ones. You're like, oh, is it, you know, we didn't have the solid one, whatever. Actually, I realized last night that if your family got the hollow one, maybe you are more holy than the rest of us. Kids, if you had a bunny or a cross this morning that was hollow, this is what your parents were saying to you. They said, you bit it and you're like, Mom, why is the bunny hollow? And your parents said to you, because it's Easter Sunday, the grave is empty, and so is your bunny, and it's sweet because the resurrection is sweet as well. Amen. I know you said that to your kids this morning. That's right. Getting all excited in the intro. It's going to be a good day. The other one that we grew up with was new clothes. I don't know if I looked as fancy as some of you, but my parents would give us new clothes. My mom sent me this week. My older sister, my older brother, and myself. Can we take a minute and appreciate these bow ties? Should those come back? I don't know. Maybe we leave them back there. I also appreciated the bunny ears, the rabbit ears. Not these ones. These ones over here. You see these rabbit ears? On the antenna on the TV, it was a simpler time. Who needs TikTok when you got four channels, am I right? I also looked at this a little bit longer in my older sister, my older brother, and then I noticed this little dude. Did you see it? I said, Mom, Easter Sunday. You grow up and have a Kansas boy who's hunting. This little dude looks like he's looking for the Easter bunny. Yikes. Had a hard life ahead of this little man. I don't know. What traditions does your family hold? For many of us, you're here today. The tradition, we go to church on Easter. And some of you have come here today and you're ready and you're excited to celebrate the new life that Jesus has for us. Amen, little man. Some of you are maybe just here today because your spouse or your mom or your grandma said you have to, and you're here, and that's okay too. I'm glad that everyone's here today. You know, this is a familiar story. 99% of you in this room know the story that we're going to share today. In fact, we were getting ready for Good Friday. My four-year-old Lillian said, what are we doing? Well, we're getting ready to tell the story of Jesus. And she goes, well, I already learned it at preschool. You know, Jesus died, but it's okay, Mom. He's alive. We can skip over this story. And in fact, you know, 4-year-old going on 13, she goes, "Mom, are we going to do this every year?" Yeah, we are. So here's what I tell you. This morning, I'm going to tell you a familiar story. But even for me, I've begun to see Easter in a new light this year. All I would ask of you today, no matter if you're happy to be here or not, is to be honest with yourself. See if there's anything within this story that matches your story. And if you feel God stirring in your heart or you recognize, man, this is true, would you be obedient to God today? Be honest and obedient as we jump in to Easter this year. You know, as we share this story, Easter is really a story about both death and life. And there's a realness to this story that most of us don't want to acknowledge. We love Easter Sunday morning, but sometimes we simply skip over the darkness we find in this story. Picture Jesus, his Thursday night. He's gathering with his closest friends, and I'm sure it was a great moment. But Jesus, in the back of his mind, looks over at Judas, says, "You're about to betray me." And just a couple short hours later, he's handed over to the authorities, and all of his closest friends, the followers, the people that are supposed to get what he's doing in the world, leave him. Jesus is abandoned, betrayed, abandoned, and then he's brought before a crowd and he's unjustly and unfairly condemned to die, even though he's innocent. People shouting for his death, crucify him. He's taken to a trial, stripped of his clothes, beaten. Now after that, they give him a cross, which is our cross. They say, "March up that hill in whatever strength you have left." And they mock him. In these moments, I can almost hear the words that Jesus once said. And he said, "In this world, you will have trouble." Friends, I don't know, this is Jesus' story, but maybe you've experienced some of these same things as well. I think the realness sometimes of life we don't address. You know, "How are you?" "Oh, I'm fine, I'm good," to everybody. But is there a darkness maybe in your soul that is under the surface? I believe even this weekend, some of you, we can't know everybody here, you're facing a tough battle this weekend. Maybe you got a diagnosis, a friend, you're carrying the weight of someone else or the world on your shoulders, and you've sensed the darkness. Maybe like Jesus, you've been unfairly ridiculed, mocked, or made fun of. Maybe you too have been betrayed and your trust in your heart is shattered. Maybe you have experienced the darkness of a fight with either mental or physical health, and you keep doing your best, but it feels like there is no way out. The darkness is real, and we too can say the words that Jesus once said, "In this world, we do have trouble." In Jesus' story, as they take him up to the hill, they get there and they lay him down on the cross. They drive nails into his hands and into his feet. They prop him up for the whole world to see and make fun of. It was not a quick ordeal. It was a 9-hour process. Jesus hangs on the cross. Picture in 9 hours, that's a lot of time. The Roman guards who are standing watch and standing guard eventually sit down and begin to throw dice and to gamble for his clothes. All of Jesus' followers are gone besides his mother, one disciple, and maybe only a few others. People walk by on the street. "Oh, you're the miracle man? You said you were the Son of God? Well, if God loves you, why doesn't he come save you now? Ha! Look at you now," mocking him. The darkness grows till it reaches its climax 6 hours in at noon. At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. About 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you abandoned me?" And Jesus shouted again and released his spirit. As I've been reading through this story this year, I focused on this line. My God, why have you abandoned me?" You know, as a pastor, I read the scriptures. I want to be able to know God's word, to share it with you so that you can follow him. And so I make it a practice whenever I'm doing something that doesn't take a lot of mental work. I put in a headphone and I simply listen to the scriptures. So it's about the second week of December this last year. I'm up on top of my roof, hanging Christmas lights. Honestly, I'm in a bad like mental headspace. I'm like cursing Illinois and Chicago for the winter that's coming ahead. Like, it's going to be gray and dark and cold for 5 months, and it's going to snow. And Pastor Phil's over here like, oh, the snow is beautiful. I'm like, you can take the cold in the winter, and it can all go to Canada or something. And Pastor Phil, he can stay. He's an all right guy. I'm listening to the Psalms, and I get about 20 Psalms in, and all of a sudden, I'm just listening mindlessly, and I hear these words, my God, why have you abandoned me? I'm like, wait a minute. I've heard that before. That's what Jesus says on the cross. So I open it up. I stop what I'm doing because I don't really want to be hanging lights anyway. Thanks, babe. We have to have lights so the neighbors don't look at us funny. And I open up Psalm 22. So this is written 1,081 years before the crucifixion. Picture the crucifixion in your mind. My God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far away when I groan for help? I am worn. I'm not a man at all. I am scorned and despised by all. Everyone who sees me mocks me. They sneer and shake their heads saying, is this the one who relies on the Lord? Well, then let the Lord save him. If the Lord loves him so much, let the Lord rescue him. But yet my life is being poured out like water. My bones are all out of joint. My heart is like wax melting within me. My enemies surround me like a pack of dogs. An evil gang closes in on me. They have pierced my hands and feet. They count my bones. My enemies stare at me. They divide my garments among them and throw dice for my clothing. The exact picture of what would happen later. And I said to myself, why would God write this through David 1,000 years before it happens? And by the way, there are literally thousands of these things throughout the Old Testament that show us who Jesus is and what he's accomplished for us. Why would he give us a picture of it? And first of all, I think he did it for this. For those of us that sit in darkness and we go through a dark time and we too have cried out, God, where are you? Do you care? Are you close? Do you even see me? He said, no, listen, even before it happens, I know what's going to happen. I know that it's going to happen so that I will be with you. You see, on the cross, we read in Corinthians, it says, God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God made right in his sight. So there's an exchange that happens here. Jesus takes on our sin. He dies the death that we don't have to die now. Also, he becomes abandoned by God so that we do not have to become abandoned by him either. Do you remember Jesus' last words? In Matthew, very last thing he says, for surely I will be with you always. Friends, if you're in the midst of a dark place and you feel like God is so far away from you, that is a lie. God is close at hand if you would simply turn to him. And you may not feel it, but God is with you today. We hear the words, maybe more familiar words, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Friend, even if you would say, I am far away from God, God, why would God want me? He would want nothing to do with me. God is close at hand. You simply call on him to come and help you. See, in the growing darkness, the greatest enemy of the darkness, the greatest power of darkness is death. Jesus releases his spirit. And I don't know if you've been to the funerals before, but when you're there, death feels cruel. It snatches life away from us. There's something within all of us, whether you believe in Jesus or not, that says this does not feel right. And I believe that God has placed eternity within every single one of us and gives us that thought, this doesn't feel right, to tell us that we were made for so much more than just this life. I told you this spring has been one unlike any other for me. The amount of funerals that we have done this spring as a church, as remembrances, just connected through our pastors. For me personally, my friend, Pastor Tricia, was 50 years old, 3 kids that all went through my youth group when I was a youth pastor. Following Jesus, as all of us, she had a past before that, began to follow Jesus, make a difference for his kingdom. After 7 years of battling cancer, went home to be with Jesus. I go to that funeral and I feel the weight of darkness and death. The next day I get into the office, first thing in the morning, I get a phone call. It's from the lady that my wife used to nanny for, would become very close to that family. She said, Galen, you're my pastor. You're the pastor I know. My brother has died. Would you do his funeral? I found out later it was a suicide. When you stand in front of that group of people, death feels like it has won, just as it did on the Friday where Jesus was hung on the cross and then placed in the tomb. But in the midst of your darkest hour, do not stop there. The difference between Friday and Saturday is only a couple of days. And in our darkest moments, we have to press on because we never know when the light will enter. So we begin reading in Matthew 28. It says this: early on Sunday morning, as the new day is dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. I got to pause real fast. Some of you don't know who Mary Magdalene is. Mary Magdalene is a woman that Jesus drove seven demons out of. And so I probably shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. If you picture the craziest person you know, and then you have a village of crazy people, she was the crazy people of the crazy people, okay? Jesus, she had no respect in the community, but Jesus saves even her, sets her free, and says, come follow me. And I love that. Because if Jesus says, hey, you can come follow me, man, I can come too. You can come too. No one is too far gone. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell dead faint. Here's what I love. When God is doing something new, the power of heaven, even all of creation responds with an earthquake. The power of heaven comes down and rolls aside the tomb and sits on it. Now, the strongest power of the day was the political power, the Roman guards. And even in the big political powers we have in the world today, the power of heaven always have more. And this is like comedic irony. I hope you don't read the Bible too seriously. All of heaven comes down in power. And the most powerful thing in the day, the Roman army, does what? Shakes and falls over dead faint. God is powerful. Then the angel said to the woman, don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead just as he said would happen. So now come and see where his body is laying. I love this because in Jesus's resurrection, here's what the people of the day believed, and we believe it too. At the end of time, God is going to come and make everything right. God is coming to make everything new. Scripture says he will wipe away every tear from our face. There'll be no more crying, no more death, no more sorrow. There's no more disease. There's no wheelchairs in heaven. God is making everything new. And Jesus coming and doing this at Easter resurrection is the deposit and the down payment of, you have this future hope, but let me tell you, it is going to happen. God is going to make everything new. That's why there's so many miracles in the New Testament. We're supposed to be on the lookout for God doing these new things for us today too. And he says, now you can be made right with God today as well. And I love this line. Come see where his body's laying. This hit me new this Easter. Why does the stone need to be rolled away to the side? Well, we got to let Jesus out, right? I mean, I think Jesus, if he made the whole world, he can get out without the stone, whatever. I think the stone is rolled away so that the invitation to the women is the same to us as well. Would you come in the tomb and look? Where is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? Oh, he's the risen King, the risen Jesus. And then we too walk out of the grave with a new perspective on the world. Wait, there's a new power. There's a new hope. There's a new future for me. Jesus is risen. Have you walked in and walked out? Has this your story as well? It continues. The angel says, and now go quickly to his disciples. Tell him that he's risen from the dead and he's going ahead of you to Galilee. You'll see him there and remember what I have told you. I want to pause just long enough to recognize that the first preacher of the good news on the first Sunday morning, God calls women to go share his message. I'll share more on that later, but you have to come back. I don't have a lot of time today. The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshiped him. Could you imagine? You just saw him on Friday for 9 hours. You cried. It just felt like another funeral. The hopes and dreams that we had, gone. But now, just a couple days later, you see him. You wrap your arms around him, weeping, and they worship him. They grasp his feet. And Jesus says to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me." What Jesus is referring to is what we read at the end of chapter 28, where Jesus famously stands in front of them and says, "Now go. Tell the whole world. Go into the world making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, teaching them all I have commanded you." And today we get to see that in baptism as we still live out this mission 2,000 years later and says, "Surely I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." He says, "Go and meet me there." They encounter this Jesus. Friends, Easter is this message that yes, in this world, we will have trouble. But you know how it ends? Some of you do. In this world, you will have trouble. But Jesus says, "Take heart, for I have overcome the world. Your sin, your darkness, your guilt, your shame, your disease, your pain, your sorrow, your tears, all of it." He says, "I'm doing away with. I have overcome. Death has lost. Jesus has won. Jesus lives, and so shall we." Friend, if it is dark in your life today, trust that just like this, there is a sunrise on the way. When Jesus, the Son of God, rose from the dead, it should remind us that when we have dark, we'll trust that the light will win instead. Because of Easter, we find forgiveness of our sin and guilt, freedom from our addiction, wholeness instead of shame, healing for what has scarred us, restoration for what has been broken in your life, reconciliation when we have burned the bridge, belonging instead of isolation, purpose instead of just surviving, hope instead of despair, and life instead of death. Death has been swallowed up in victory because of Easter. Where, O death, is your victory? Where is your sting? You see, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. You see, the difference between those two funerals that I told you about earlier couldn't be any different. In one situation, people are wondering, what are we doing? Is there hope? Is there meaning to life? And the other, with my friend, there's still tears of sadness. Our loved one has gone. But at the same time, the sting is somewhat gone. Scripture says we do not grieve like those who don't have hope, because we do have a hope. That my friend today stands with Jesus with her first Easter in Sunday. Guess what? No more cancer, no more chemo, hairs long and back flowing, praising Jesus. Friends, you've been through them. And this church, remember that since the 1930s, today is Sam's first Easter Sunday in heaven. I guarantee you he's standing next to Jesus, telling Jesus about the first 100 years. And Jesus is saying, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. I bet those 100 years were worth it because you encountered me. Yeah, you'll have trouble, but don't you see I have overcome the world?" Friend, what about you? Every one of us will go. People come to our funeral. Will there be hope for them, for you? See, Scripture tells us we do not need to be afraid of death. God says his perfect love drives out all fear because we can know Jesus. When we get to the end of our life, it shouldn't be like, what if? It's no, by grace I've been saved. So Jesus, I'm just longing to come home to the one whom my soul has found, who I have known through these years. Jesus saves us from death for abundant life. Here's my hope and prayer for you today. That you know, you're going to pass on traditions. In 20 years, your kids, those that remember you, they will remember bunnies, Easter eggs, a meal. But what if we could give them a tradition and a legacy of living faith? Yeah, we did all those things, but man, dad, mom, they knew Jesus. Because of that, something is different. And we have a new tradition of faith that gets passed on. Here's what's crazy to me. In this story, Jesus comes back. Jesus is alive. If I'm living with Jesus in the time, I'd begin to write things down. Like, who is this new risen Jesus? What does he look like? What does he say? What does he do? I would write down so much more because the church for thousands of years is going to read these words. Jesus, when you said this, what did you really mean? Just because I am who I am, I'd be like, so Jesus, you created everything, right? It's like snakes, spiders, and anchovies. Why? Can we just People need to know. I don't understand. Like, Jesus, you know, the Sea of Galilee is right here. There's a team on the north side and on the south side. Which is your favorite? So we can just know, right? Why doesn't it say more about Jesus? The story shifts and it turns to his followers. Because not only is death to life Jesus' story, but now Jesus gets glorified because death to life becomes our story. Friends, I wish you could know the people in these chairs. I look around, I'm like, it's your story. It's your story. It's your story. Today, is it yours? I'm reminded it was only 12 years ago this summer, I was in the darkest moment of my life. I honestly didn't see how I was going to live and survive and going away forward. Man, I wake up every morning and start smoking, and by 10 a.m. at least, I'm drinking vodka. There's no hope. How will I ever go forward? I could have blamed others, but let's be real. My decisions were the ones that had landed me there. I felt like God in a moment said, you need to come home to me. And I said, I don't want to. By a month later, by God's grace, I was arrested and set in jail. Wake up call. What are you doing? Friends, don't let your life get to the point where you have to, where God has to sit you down and say, what are you doing? He can say it right now. Where's your meaning? Where's your purpose? Why are you here? Do you have a hope that goes beyond the grave? Do you know God's new life? Is he remaking you from the inside out? Scripture says God's spirit comes and lives within us. It starts producing love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness. Are you experiencing these things in your life? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, Jesus loves me? And here's what I tell you. Every time I get to this point, people are like, yeah, but you don't know me. You don't know my story. I say, listen, every other world religion says, climb a mountain and you can be better, do more, work harder, and then you might have a chance. Christianity says, no, God came down from heaven to the lowest place he could and said, what did Jesus say on the cross? It is finished. I have taken your sin, the barrier that has caused the barrier between you and God. I have done away with it. I am near. Scripture says, by grace you have been saved, not because you're a good person. Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. And the invitation is for all of us. Do you know this Jesus today? I think the words are simple. God, save me. Jesus, save me. Save me from my sin. Save me from the deadness that I have inside. Maybe for you today, it's not, Jesus, save my marriage. Save me from myself. Save me from this addiction that I say I've got under control, but I know. Jesus, save me. Do you know this Jesus? He says we can. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? And here's why I ask that you bow your head and close your eyes. I want you to take just a moment, privacy and concentration, to talk with Jesus. Romans 3 says that we have all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. We're all in the same ground. There is level playing ground at the foot of the cross. We have all sinned. None of us are good enough. But yet Jesus has came to die for our sins and proven victorious through his resurrection so that we may have the eternal life that is after death. Even now, God can raise us from the dead, that the resurrected King would begin to resurrect me as well. Friend, if you're here today and you know you haven't been living for God, you feel God speaking to you today, a warmness in your heart, a thought of, man, this is true and I know I need to come home. Don't miss it. If you can hear it from me, life is so much better with Jesus than it is without. Would you come home? Call on the name and say, Jesus, save me. Forgive me of my sin. Give me new life. If that's you today and every head is bowed, every eye is closed, this is a moment between you and Jesus. If that's you today, I want you on the count of three to raise your hand as a physical sign of Jesus. I want you. I need you. Save me. Do this death to life work within me. I can't change myself. You change me. Is that you today? I want you to raise your hand. One, two, three. Would you raise your hand? Hands up around the room. Jesus offers forgiveness. Jesus offers us grace. Scripture says that God takes your sin now and throws it as far as the east is from the west. He looks at you through the eyes of Jesus with perfect love. Yes, he knows exactly who you are. He loves you just as you are, but he also loves you too much to leave you where you are. So now he gives you new life found in him. Friend, you are a child of God. You are forgiven. Your identity as a child. You belong to this family as a church. And now you can live with a purpose to love God and love others alongside of us, to bring God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. God forgives us. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, we thank you for the celebration that is happening in heaven. God, I pray for these today that they would mark Easter 22 as a spiritual birthday. They came home to you, and that was the beginning, only the beginning, when they partnered with your church, begin to change their life to never be the same. God, would you tell your death to life story through these today as well? We trust that you'll be honored and glorified through them. Jesus, we are thankful for Easter this year. We love you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Hey, thanks again for joining us for the First NAS podcast. If you're interested in what your next step in growing your relationship with God might look like, I'd encourage you to visit us at firstnaz.cc/engage, or you can download our app from the App Store, First Nazarene Church. And there you can let us know if you've made a decision for Jesus, or you can also find practical resources to help you grow closer to Jesus. I'd also invite you to subscribe to the podcast if you're not already, to make sure that you've always got the latest content. And if you want to, feel free to share this on your social accounts. You never know who else might need to hear today's message as well. Well, thanks again for joining us. Have a great day.